We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Catch post game show. Andy Liu, the Warriors lost 116-113 to the Dallas Mavericks. Kind of a frustrating game. I don't know. It feels a little weird. Maybe it's because I ordered some noodle time for, you know, for the game, which I just finished. Got the red curry, well, spicy, done. Of course. I'm not feeling as down as usual, but anyway, you know. You guys should order some Pacific Catch.
I feel like because we do 50,000 shows a week and we promote Pacific Catch every week, it's great. It's like by the time from Skeff Thomas, Jordan Poole is gonna Pacific Catch these hands.
JP having a rough go of it. No, let's get into the game because. The Warriors lost, very frustrating because it was a super winnable game, some terrible officiating all the way through. Like, it was you get what, 5, maybe 10 games a year, which are the ref show. Tonight was a ref show game.
Yeah.
And they let a lot go there, but I thought there was positives. And in general, it does feel like the Warriors are the Warriors again in some ways.
Yep.
So let's get straight into it.
That was my takeaway from this game. I'm fine with the look. The losses happen. What are you supposed to do? You're going to win 15 in a row, 24 in a row. But it felt like it was playoff atmosphere. It felt like Dallas, great fans in there, right? It looked like it was a Western Conference Finals game. Felt like one of those games where the Warriors lose that game and go, yeah, we're going to win the series though, because look at the way we lost the game. None of our guys showed up. Three, Jordan Poole, Wiggins, and Clay couldn't hit a shot. Clay missed a wide open one to end the game. Poole missed a wide open one down the stretch. And all that being said, the Warriors were actually up with about a minute and a half or so. And it took Luka, you know, 40 plus points making shots left and right. Tim Hardaway was making bullshit shots all game long. So it felt like one of those games where you go back and say, yeah, the Warriors are going to win the series in 5 or 6. This is just one of those games. It's like Dallas game 3. Right? It's like they're going to show up and they're going to make 25 threes and they're just going to win. So that's what it felt like. But like you said, overall, Warriors feel like the Warriors. And the story to me is Sean the Kuminga. That's the guy.
Yeah, I agree. I was literally about to say it. John the Kuminga is the story of tonight. We've been waiting for this to come because he has the skill set to be that extra athletic wing that they want. The GP2 replacement, the wing you can throw out there who can defend and do some stuff on offense. Tonight, he did that. 10 rebounds pops to me.
Damn.
14 points. I felt like the second quarter was all about Kuminga. The Warriors had the worst first quarter they've had a long time in this game. And really the story of it was the second unit, and particularly Kuminga, ignited the run. It was really kind of the opposite of what we've seen all year. You know, all year it's been starters dominate, bench gives it up. Tonight was a little different. Tonight, starters were awful. Bench gave it back. I mean, we can throw the box score up here, but it's quite funny to me. You know, the starters were like minus 20 and Kuminga's plus 23. That's what we were. That's the type of stuff we were seeing. And for me, the bigger thing was we're seeing growth from Kuminga. We're seeing buy-in. We're seeing a guy who is playing within his role and realizing he doesn't need to dribble 100 times in a row to be effective. Yes. If he plays within his role, he can affect the game in 100 different ways. He's a huge wing. He can absolutely get a bunch of rebounds. He can slash easily his best game of the season. And honestly, if he continues down this path, he's going to play 20 plus minutes a game.
And he's going to be in the playoff rotation easily. The dude is such a monster defensively. I know Luka had 41 tonight, dominated the Warriors, passing, shooting, getting to the free. Like, literally, he did anything he wanted out there. But the few times that he did have a little bit of trouble was because of Kuminga, who, you know, Kuminga doesn't – he's not as quick as Wiggins, so he's never going to be able to guard the quick point guards. But he is longer than Wiggins, and he is stronger. Like, you're not going to move him as easy.
Yeah.
And he's what, 20 years old? Like, that a kid that strong, that young, is impressive, which is why I always said the kid's going to be an elite defender one day if he gives a shit about defending, which looks like he does, because I think he realizes it's the only way he's going to get minutes. He played 26 minutes tonight. Can argue he probably should have played 30 with how bad some of the other guys were. And I think if he figures that part of the game out, everything is easy. 10 rebounds is insane, but just playing that low dunker spot, that's the range that Andre Iguodala always had, right? Just chill in the short corner, make the right pass, and get a right pass from Looney or Draymond, get a dunk. And then at the end of the game, he makes a three. That's your typical, like, bullshit Andre three, right? He's just wide open, crunch time.
That's for boom. Me, that's the big shot for him, because if he can hit the corner three, he closes games.
Yep.
Yep. And really, that's kind of what's holding him back. Like, being, well, two things were holding him back. Inconsistent effort, a little wanting to be the star of the show and not just be like one of the guys. But he corrected that pretty quickly. Like, tonight he was everywhere. He led the team in rebounding, just really used his physical gifts to impact the game. The other one is more of a skill thing. Like, he just can't be out there in closing time if he can't stick an open jumper in the corner. And tonight he did. And I think that's a big thing for him. I don't need him pulling up like Steph. I don't even need him shooting like Wiggins. Wiggins didn't shoot well tonight, but Wiggins has become an excellent shooter for this team. I just need him to hit the open shots. I just need him to credibly punish a defense if they leave him wide open. You know what? I throw this up there because Kuminga, he does have that dog in him.
Big dog.
That's why I'm a Kuminga guy. I'm gonna be honest with you. The maturity stuff was fair to call out. You could see it at times where he thinks he's too good for certain things, but like, he is a guy, if you challenge him, I'm bullish on the personality. That's all I'm going to say. I'm a buyer in the competitiveness inside of him. Like, he seems like the kind of guy who, like, you know, if you go at him, he'll smile until he gets mad and then he'll want to get you back type of thing, which is like the energy you want from a guy.
You know, it's reminiscent of Jordan Poole from the first couple seasons he played, and Jordan Poole kind of got an unfair shtick from Steve Kerr for a few years. I think Kuminga's kind of got an unfair, but you can't really say it's a bad shtick from Steve because it's worked with Jordan Poole. He's very good now, despite the fact that he struggled tonight. Same with Kuminga. By the way, Steve Kerr tonight said that's the best he's ever seen. I don't know, we're going to get to that quote, but that's the best Steve Kerr's ever seen Jonathan Kuminga play. I agree. Easily.
Yeah.
By the way, he had two blocks and they were two weak side blocks. Help defense. I've never thought of someone that young could be a help defender. I mean, like, Clay to this point in his career has never been a help defender, and he's 30s now.
Clay's,
right?
Clay's also never got his head above the rim like that.
He's not worried about that. But dude, if Jonathan Kuminga, because Wiggins is not really a help defender too, but you know who was, like, Kevin Durant was a great help defender.
Yes.
I'm not saying he's KD, but if Kuminga, he has the size, he has the athleticism. If you're going to tell me he has the IQ to become a great help defender, that takes his defense to a next level, especially off the bench, because now you can pair him with Looney, Draymond, Dante DiVincenzo next to Jordan Poole. I mean, dare I say that's a really good bench compared to what we saw in the beginning of the season. So it is falling into place. The starters were terrible today. That's why they lost, right? Steph was horrible to start the game. Again,
Poole, Clay, Wiggins, all awful, couldn't make a shot. So those guys lost the game, but I think long-term, this type of play from Kuminga means a lot more to me than a late November loss in that. Like, that doesn't mean much to me.
It's
what
annoying.
Kuminga did tonight does.
Yeah. It's annoying that they fall to 11-11, but you look at the rest of the West, it's not that annoying. They're like three games out of first. It's not a big deal right now. I do agree with you, and I've said this since the preseason. The Warriors need one of their young players to pop, like playoff pop. And I was always optimistic it would be Kuminga, and it's still early, and I don't want to be like it's a told-you-so thing, but it's looking like it will be Kuminga because – And that's what this roster needs because, okay, you got your core six. Dante's really rounding into shape to be a productive seventh player for this team. Jermichael, not looking like the guy we thought he would be when they got him. But they need to get one of those young guys to actually be a productive playoff player. And right now it looks like Wiggins, and it always makes sense because the Warriors love to go wing heavy in the playoffs, and he's a win.
He's going to be a perfect fit for them. I mean, if last season he figured it out for stretches, right, and then he kind of didn't, which is what happens with 21-year-olds. So we'll see if this sticks, but if this really does and he can do this relatively consistently and then get better, which we all assume is going to happen, that's a two-way monster. Sam, that's just a guy that's not exactly Andrew Wiggins, but doing what Andrew Wiggins does and seeing what he's done in the postseason, that shit matters so much. What Jordan Poole does matters so much too, because they need a guy that creates off the bench. They need a guy that can score. You know, they don't need in crunch time, like they don't need a big man scorer. They don't really like that's not what they don't need another scoring guard. They don't need that.
No.
They need a two-way wing. Like Kuminga defensively, and if he can finish defensively, it gets me excited, dude. I'm excited, even though the Warriors lost this game because of what
it does. It does get me excited. We got a comment here from Dwayne Steph. You're not going to win games in your second, third, and fourth scores combined for 24. Yeah, and let's pivot to this because let's talk the game. Like we're excited about Kuminga. It's a big. Ultimately, that's the bigger story in the scheme of the season. But let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this game. Steph had an awful start to the game. He still finished with 32. Was that a travel or was that not a travel in your mind?
It didn't look like a travel. Also, it's Steph Curry. You're not going to call him for a travel. It's bullshit.
Oh, but they are.
Yeah, I know. Which was unfair. But also, even before he traveled, Why are you taking a three? He got, right. By the way, he got called for a travel like 5 minutes before that on the exact same thing. Also, what was the points in the paint that the Warriors had? They had like 70 points in the paint. Why? Davis Bertans isn't blocking you. Maxi Kleber isn't blocking you. Dorian Finney-Smith isn't blocking you.
That was peak Steph going for the kill shot instead of just like he had his man beat, take the 2 points, tie it up, and let's keep going.
And you would have gotten fouled probably too. So.
He might have got the lead that way too.
He did it in Charlotte. He did it in Charlotte. So I'm never it's Steph Curry. So that's all I got. Just shoot the layup, Steph. But you know, whatever.
Yeah,
It's Steph. I'm sorry. I got nothing.
Terrible starter game. No. I don't really want to dwell on it too much. Like Wiggins was bad. Draymond was Draymond was probably better among the starters. Clay was terrible. Looney had some stretches, but it was just kind of like they were due. They've been dominating people too much. At some point they were going to have a dud. And it was cool at least to see the bench keep them in this game a little bit, but you know, they're kind of due for it.
So here's one though. Cause I agree with you on the other stuff. I think you throw it away, but from Awesome,
if it becomes a thing over a few games, we'll talk about it, but yeah.
And I know, I think this is the one. So hit from Awesome, elephant in the room. What's wrong with Jordan Poole? That's a question. That's a question I think worth asking because he's been pretty up and down this season. He's been better lately. Tonight it was, I mean, the travels, the carries, the decision-making, the shoot. Are you worried?
I'm getting frustrated. Worried is not quite the right word, but like Jordan Poole, 3 for 9 from the field in 27 minutes. Why is he only taking nine shots?
Yes. Crazy.
He had 9 assists. I don't know. He's done this multiple times this year where he's gone super facilitator. And I don't know if it's the coaching staff in his head. I don't know if he's in his own head because of the contract and expectations and that sort of stuff. But it's like, bro, you're paid to shoot. Like, Jordan Poole's value is being essentially a mini Steph Curry. Like, he is really explosive when he's locked in. I don't need you trying to be Chris Paul out there, you know?
I mean, he had 9 assists tonight. By the way, friend of the show, Alexis Morgan, said JP was plus 14 with a team-high 9 assists. So, but you, to your point, not paid to be Jason Kidd. Not paid to be Steve Nash, right? So,
I don't know. He's struggled to find his role within this team. The reason he works well with the starters is, A, the starters are really good. But B, he knows exactly what his role is, playing next to Steph Curry with Draymond Green and that sort of stuff. He still hasn't figured out how to balance playmaking and scoring with the second unit. There's been times he's tried to score. It's just been too selfish. I don't want to say I'm worried, but like, sooner or later, we gotta come to something a little better than this.
He might be a little bit more streaky than we're still trying.
He's certainly more streaky than Steph, but like, okay, that's
maybe
that's
than we thought. Yeah. I think because he's so young and we haven't seen Jordan Poole play. He hasn't seen Jordan Poole play that long in his career. It's only year 4. So I think maybe Jordan Poole is just a streaky player. At least this early in his career, right? He's still so young. I think it still takes a lot to get him to be confident consistently. You know, you're not just going to be Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I think we've been spoiled where Steph is just Steph. He came in, he's just Steph. And Klay is just, you know, he's always been a great shooter. So with Jordan Poole, I think there are things that, you know, are kind of hurting his confidence sometimes. I think defense is one of them. I think the foul calls are one of them, the travels, all that stuff. And then having to lead a second unit to start the season is one of them. So I think, like, him getting in rhythm is pretty hard. He does need more baddies courtside. Maybe he should have been at the Iran game. Hey, man, look, I was rooting for Iran today, Sam. I was just looking in the stands. I was a happy guy. I was like, you know what I mean? I don't care for Team USA soccer. I could have done without him, but you know. By the way, shout out to Team USA pulling out a 1-0 victory. My guys, they're playing the Netherlands on Saturday.
You sound like LeBron talking about soccer. So, and I watched the match. Pretty unique.
What's next?
So I also want to give one last Warrior bench shout out before I move on to kind of a question I want to probe you with. Anthony Lamb. I thought Anthony Lamb played really well tonight.
So good.
11 points, 4 for 6, 2 for 4 from 3, 5 rebounds. And look, he's a two-way player. I'm not sure how much better he can actually get than what he is right now. He's undersized and he's kind of slow, right? Like, there's just a limited thing. But I think Anthony Lamb exemplifies the final piece for this team if Kuminga is going to be who he looks like he's going to be. Because Anthony Lamb lets them play Kuminga at the 3. And he lets them play Kuminga at the 3 because he's a stretch 4 who makes quick decisions and passes.
That's literally what
Otto Porter did. Otto Porter, you know, he's not the passer Draymond is, but he didn't like stand with the ball in his hands for an hour, right? And then he shot it. So I'm just sitting here and I'm going, man, if they find a big who's better, who does what Lamb does, but just like at a higher level, they're set. They got a perfect rotation because Jordan Poole should come around. Dante's
good game with Dante today.
Really, really figuring out his role as kind of like. They kind of ask him to be Andre of the second unit. He's obviously an Andre Iguodala, but like just be that guy who does a little bit of everything and settles the team down, right?
Yep.
And yeah, he played really well tonight. There's two really good games in a row for him. Kuminga being that two-way force, like they really just need that big who connects everything, can hit some jump shots. And I think I feel pretty good about that rotation. So I just wanted to call that out because I feel like that's, you know, if it was Otto Porter in Lamb's place, we'd be sitting here being like, yeah, they're same team as last year. They're good to go. Replacing GP2 with Kuminga. Yeah, he's a little younger, but we're in a good spot, right?
Yeah. And I think
you know, you're getting a better version of certain players. So I agree. By the way, somebody in the comments says Sam looks like Aaron Rodgers. Look at that. Nobody ever says that about me. Nobody ever says anything about my looks. I'm fucking believable, dude. With you on Anthony Lamb, he's just smart as hell, man. He's just, or maybe it's I'm used to watching the bench from earlier this season be dumb as hell. So whatever it is, he also hit some big shots tonight. He had an and one bucket just moving in slow-mo. It's like almost like Kevon Looney, just moving in slow-mo, scoring on Davis Bertans. By the way, if you're Davis Bertans, you're letting Anthony Lamb go one-on-one and score against you. It's in a dark, dark place. The Dallas Mavericks, by the way, I would not say that they're a real basketball team. Like they're a playing team this season to me. But hey, good for Luka. He's gonna get his buckets. It's good for my fantasy team, but it's a loss.
I'm on my team too. I put him in lineup tonight. That's
hey, somebody said I look like Simu Liu. That just might be racist, but I'll take that one.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I want to ask you this question. I've been marinating on this one for a while. Luka Doncic, he is what? 24 years old right now? No, 23 years old. Born in February. 23 years old. Is Luka more Cleveland LeBron first stint or Rockets Harden?
I think it's not close. He's way more like Rockets Harden. And there are differences. Rockets Harden, because Luka has his post-up game, which is just incredible. He can make passes out of there. He can hit the fadeaway. He can hit the little push. He can do all that fun stuff. But, dude, Cleveland LeBron was the best defensive player in the world. Elite rim pressure. Super athletic. I understand that his teammates suck, but just the style of play is so much closer to it. Sometimes watching Luka isn't fun. I've always had fun watching LeBron, as much as it's fun to make fun of LeBron. He's always been fun to watch. Luka is, especially early in his career, Sam, sometimes it's really hard watching Luka, man.
I'm going to go the opposite way with
Daniel. Oh, no.
Hear my case. So I hear your stylistic case, but personally, I think Luka is better than LeBron was at 23. Yeah, you can put that on the record. You can cut this out and troll me to death for that. My issue with Harden has been Harden never has a counter. He has a formula. I mean, he plays like Moneyball. You know, it's like I'm going to bait you into a foul or take a step back or go to the rim, and that's it. I'm not doing anything else. LeBron, for all of his heliocentric offense, played the game. You want me to go in the post? I'll go in the post. You want me to attack the rim? I'll attack the rim. I'll shoot. Like, he does that stuff. And for me, Luka does the same thing. He's got better feel for basketball than Harden. Like, there's more creativity off the bounce there. There's also the ability to operate out of the mid-range, operate out of the post, which I never see from Harden. I think for me, the biggest thing is Harden, you always knew in the playoffs, if you took away what Harden wanted to do, he'd be like, well, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to quit. With a guy like LeBron, and to a degree with a guy like Luka, they have the ability to counter it and kind of be creative with their counters. He's got a long way to go to even touch LeBron defensively. Like, I forget that.
Well, he never will. Yeah, he never will.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not.
But I'm talking about like the ingenuity and creativity. You're never going to see Luka have a 2-for-10, 8-turnover, 6-point elimination point game. Because I've seen James Harden have that game 5 times in a row, you know? And that, for me, that is the distinguishing characteristic between them.
I think that's, you know, that's mental. I mean, we've seen LeBron have some pretty bad games. We've seen Steph do the same thing. I think Luka, it's going to come for Luka at some point. He's young enough. He's going to be in the postseason enough where he's going to have some stinkers. But I'm with you on the counter stuff. James Harden kind of turned himself into a computer program.
Yeah.
But like a computer program without actual, without ways to get out of it. Like it was just one or two. Or if it's not two, then it's three, but that's it. Like there was nothing else. Like he never actually finished coding the app to where there were other things that he could do. It was just one or two or three, and that was
just
it.
Just Darren roughing it up at the play.
Hey, the Giants better spend some money. I better not see another freaking Darren Ruff on my team next season. I'm with you on that. Oh,
you can see four of them.
with you on that, but. I can't get over. Luka was so bad defensively in the Western Conference Finals, dude. He was so bad. Like the Warriors, they picked on him.
They're five games. They're like, we need to end this game, pick and roll, Luka. you're right. Yeah,
you know.
You are right. That was a thing that happened. We're not going to pretend that wasn't a thing that happened. But also, he was dropping 40. The Warriors didn't shut him down. They just realized that like they could let him get his. And
it was like Jokic, right? It was like Jokic. It was like, you know, we're cool with everyone else. And then that, you know, it's like a Steph thing too. You know, maybe he'll figure out, you know, Steph at that point in his career, kind of the same thing. It's just you got to figure out how to be passable on defense. Ooh, what do we got here? All right, we got the schedule.
Yeah. So I wanted to call this out before we got to the Goons real quick. Lost tonight. Warriors are 11-11. I feel like they have to win their next three games at home. Like that must, those have to be W's. And then you got Utah, then you're back for Boston. What are we looking for over those five? Is 3-2 acceptable or do we need a 4-1 stretch there?
They need a 4-1 stretch. I mean, Chicago, Houston, Indiana at home with no, I mean, there's a back to back in there, but some tells me that they're going to play in the back to back. Maybe no Clay, probably. But they got 3 days. They've got Wednesday and Thursday off. They got 2 days off between. So I assume that they're going to play Chicago and Houston. They should win those two games. They better win those two games. And they got Indiana, who's a fine team, but you got to win that game at home. Indiana beat Lakers. That was funny after being down 17 in the fourth quarter last night. Utah and Boston, like that should be a split. I mean, that'll be a fun one. You get Boston at home, right? So that'll be a fun one. But I would say, man, like they've got to make a run. They're kind of already making a run after being 3-7. It's kind of the issue with going – I keep going back to it. Dude, you went 0-5 in a road trip that you never should have went 0-5 on playing against shitty Eastern Conference teams. And this is what happens now,
that's
right?
That's got to be your 4-1 road trip of the
year. 4-1. Yeah. I mean, that was a fail because you look at the road trip that they've got coming up, Milwaukee, Indiana, Philly, Toronto, New York, Brooklyn. That's a rough road trip. That is a rough road trip. You're not making a run. You're just trying to go. You're just trying to survive, right? So I say you got to go 4-1 next five games.
Yeah, I agree. Chicago Friday, Houston Saturday. Yes, it's a back-to-back with less than 24 hours between the games, but you got to win both those. Chicago's playing awful. Houston is awful. Maybe the worst team in the league. You know, like they're right there. And then you got Indy coming to town. Indy is – they were in L.A. last night. They'll have been on the West Coast for over a week by the time they play the Warriors.
Good call.
They should be – they're a good team. Tyrese Halliburton's awesome.
Oh, my God.
Mathurin, I don't know if he's my favorite rookie, but I like him a lot. And then
like
Miles Turner's currently playing like the good Miles Turner who everyone wants to trade for. They're just a solid team. There's no other way around it. But like they're on the road. They're coming to you. Like you expect to beat Indiana at home and you hope to beat them at their place maybe. Then the Warriors go to Utah. Utah's starting to slump. They're tougher at home. But, you know, the Warriors are not getting them to back-to-back. So maybe they can take that one. Boston at home will be tough, but you get a lot of rest in both directions. We get our first ABC game of the season, Warriors-Boston. That'll be I'm excited for that. It's early in the year for those 5:30 ABC games. But I'm with you. We're kind of hitting the part of the season where the Warriors have to take care of business and turn 11-11 into 17-12, 23-14, 27-7. Like start making that gap get a little wider because we're over a quarter of the way into the season and they played with their food at the beginning of the season. And that's kind of what you got to do now.
I'm also building in the fact that these guys are old. At some point here, Draymond's going to have an ankle sprain. Steph's going to have a knee tweak.
I know, but
knock on wood, but it's going to happen. You can't, what? Steph's going to play 75 games? No. And I don't want him to play. Same with Draymond.
I do, but I don't. It's the same. Yeah,
absolutely not. I argue that they won the championship last season because Steph got hurt. Because he sat out the last month is because that's why they won the championship. And so you're going to have to build in some losses in the middle or end of the season, kind of like what happened last season. I think exactly that's. And so I don't expect the Warriors going to be the 1-2 seed. But like you said, now is the time, though, because everyone's healthy and everyone looks pretty good. Now is the time to put that run together. I'm with you. They should be, 24-17 or something at some point. And, they got to get to a point where
they're comfortable. Start getting that separation. Yeah.
Be the fourth seed. Get the fourth seed. See if you can get the third seed. Because the Western Conference, we don't have the standings up. But they're still a mess. The Western Conference standings are still a mess. I do think the Phoenix Suns are going to run away with it. I do think the Denver Nuggets.
Winners work, baby.
Dude,
Can we talk about that video? I'm going to pull this up. I have a couple videos to pull up for everyone right now. And for those of you listening on the podcast, we will talk about this. First off, as the podcast's number one Damian Lee defender, friend of the show, I'm a Damian Lee guy. I never thought it was fair when people criticize, a veteran minimum guy who literally grinded his way out of the G League. Dude, criticize your guys who make real money. Criticize the number two pick. Criticize guys who actually matter. Don't criticize him. Damian Lee doing push-ups on Twitter like the Suns, it's not going to work out for you, buddy. It didn't work out. It didn't work out for Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and those boys in the past. This stuff never works out. No one ever good comes from this winner's work bullshit. This is pure love of the fame, pure look at me type of stuff. You think they're the only team in the NBA who lifts weights post game? I promise you the Warriors do. They just aren't posting it on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, wherever it may be. Let's get to the second one, Tim, because this one bothered me even more. DeAndre Ayton doing squats in a towel, the epitome of fake hustle. He's a fake hustle all-star. You know when a game matters, he's going to not show up. He did it last year, getting benched in the playoffs, just generally being so. What is the purpose for squatting 25s in a towel? Andy, what is this? Sorry, he's not squatting. I take it back. Shoulder press.
He's doing military press.
What do we got there? 25, 50, 80, 100?
The Phoenix Suns are absolutely incredible, man.
Doing it for the gram? Why?
Oh, my. They are an IG model. This is what the Phoenix Suns are. By the way, somebody texted me last night who was at the Kings game, but love watching the Kings. They texted me and they said Mikal Bridges and Devin Booker both played 41 minutes last night. And he was saying how Suns are absolutely fraudulent, just going for it every single game of the regular season so you can win 56 games. And then by the playoffs, you're just not good enough. That's the Phoenix Suns. By the way, I want to say round of applause for all the listeners. Sam just went while he did the rant, pulled up the tweets, sent them to Tim. So doing both things at once, not missing a beat during that. That was, as Draymond would say, that was absolutely incredible. Absolutely. What happened to Draymond's podcast, actually? Now that I think about it, dude's gone.
Bob Myers finally got some leverage. He's like, oh, You want that extension or you want a pod? Because you're not getting both right now. I tell you that much.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's get to the goons. It's time to get to the goons.
Enough of the Suns. Enough of the freaking Phoenix Suns, man.
We'll get Francisco up here then.
All right, Francisco, let's roll.
My man.
Hi.
How's it going?
How's it going? Missing a couple of shows. I was traveling to Portugal and Spain, so
lucky man.
Yeah, but good game to come back. Well, too bad they lost. This loss is, you can't overthink it. Well, it's a, they could have won. The thing is the start of the season. That's why these losses then they matter a little bit more. But it was a good game. The bench played great. I think just Clay started out really slow. He couldn't get it. He was passing the ball. They were making some plays, but the ball wasn't coming back to him to get some shots. And then in the fourth, because of that, it wasn't. You could tell it wasn't in rhythm. He had a good look, but the ball slipped out of his hands, I think, at the end of the fourth. And then the shot to end the game was perfect, but he hasn't been hitting. He wasn't hitting the entire game, so I don't know. Yeah. But enough about the game. Let's talk about soccer, man.
Wait, call it soccer.
Wait, Sam, I heard it's called soccer now. Okay.
Oh, God.
Since they won against Iran, it's called soccer.
I need your opinion. One, was that a penalty?
I'm biased a little bit because Taremi is known here in Portugal to dive a lot, man. So
we're gonna edit this out. No.
No, he's known to dive a lot. Yeah, it might have been a penalty. I don't know. It's a lot of pressure at the end of the game, so it's a lot of contact. It's a contact sport, man. So, like people say when I used to play soccer, they would say, this is not basketball. You have contact, okay? Of course, they flop a lot.
Irony.
Both sports,
yeah,
though.
The irony in it.
But both sports.
But it was too bad, man. Like I said to you, Sam, you win against Wales, you draw against the U.S., but U.S., they're good. Okay,
they look really good today.
Yeah, their midfield is good with Tyler Adams and McKinney and Musa, I think it's his name. They're good, and you have a good team. Of course, you have a couple of good players. Then you play as a team, but it happens. It's three games, man. It's too short. You miss one game. Of course, that was the England game was not the problem. It was here in the U.S. game. You missed one goal. You had a couple of good crosses. They couldn't score. And, of course, U.S. also, they could have scored two goals, and we wouldn't have this conversation about the penalty. Well,
I agree with you.
Who wins?
Yeah, I think, well,
just whole thing? Just whole thing.
Yeah.
Whole thing.
I think France. France is really strong. I don't know. I think France and I don't know Spain. We were
even
saying
without,
they're really strong,
Benzema?
But they beat Costa Rica in the first game, so you can't tell. I would wish Portugal would win. but
isn't Brazil the best team? Or am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Damn! I live here. I live too close to them. They're too arrogant. I watch the game with all my friends. They're my friends, even my family, my wife and my kids. And I can't stand it, man. Because
I love it.
One thing I did right in my life, okay? My son looks at Neymar and he doesn't like him, okay? He tells he falls a lot. He's really I've put it in his mind that Cristiano Ronaldo is the best, and he doesn't contest that. Even now, when he's not the best, he still says that. sometimes he's 8 years old and say, oh, he's a little bit old. Yeah, I know, but he's good. Yes, yes, yes. But no, Brazil, they're really good, of course. A good thing I think happened to Brazil was Neymar getting out. They put some a little bit more midfielders playing, okay? Because the way they're way they're playing with four forwards and two midfielders, the first game, I don't think against a defensive team like Serbia or Switzerland that would work.
Yeah.
But against Spain that holds the ball a lot, that won't work. But of course, Brazil is favorite. Okay, Andy, they're good. Their players, they're all playing the top teams. Portugal, I won't say is favorite, and I think the main thing is Ronaldo is a little bit past his due, and the coach, man, I hate him. Everybody hates him in Portugal, but he won the Euro Cup, so we have to keep him for a couple of years. He passed now to the next stage, so we're gonna keep him for the next couple of years.
Francisco,
so we're lost.
Appreciate you, my man. Okay. Let's get moving.
My guy,
he is my guy. Jean, what's up, man?
Hey guys, what's up? Kind of frustrated after that game. I just had a couple of questions where I'm like, I'm really confused on why Steve always. I don't know if it's Steve, but the ball always seems to find Clay in the game-winning shot kind of situation. And like, I love Clay and all that, but like, I really want to see Steph take that shot in a sense. And I feel like the one instance where I really remember that was last year against the Knicks, I think it was. And like, we had like some insane momentum, and then like Clay gets the last shot. And I'm like, I feel like I kind of want to see Steph on those, but like, I can live with the Clay open three, but you know, that kind of annoyed me considering like how Clay's night was too.
Yeah, it was not a Clay night for sure.
I can take a go at this. He's like Kyle Shanahan. They're both like this in this particular way where they just, they're going to try to outsmart you some way, somehow. And I think like his thing is, well, Steph is the guy that needs to take the shot. Everybody, the Mavs are going to look at him and take the shot. I'm going to have Steph set a screen. And honestly, it worked. The reason why Josh Green left Klay Thompson wide open is because he was guarding Steph. And they probably should have switched, and they messed that up. That was just bad defense. But I'm with you, though. I wish they had just ran that for Steph, because he was the guy that was making shots tonight. Klay was cold. I mean, that's Steve, though. It didn't surprise me at all. Honestly, if he ran that play before for Wiggins, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Ijan, appreciate you. I was going to say the other thing, you can get one more thing in, but okay. I want to say one other thing I want to throw out there is like, there's just always this need to run the play for the taller player in the half court. Like, say what you want, but like Steve will always, he knows Klay can get a clean look more than Steph. Just 6'7" or 6'3". Whether that's fair or not, because Steph can wiggle his way to a shot and hit shit off balance against anyone. But like, I always think that's part of it. End of the day, if Klay is not going to hit those shots, like, I don't know what else you can do other than bench Klay. So, by the way, I'm sorry, Sean, what was your other?
Question was, like, I saw that, like, I was kind of doing the same thing before, but I was looking at the schedule and the upcoming schedule, and we're 11-11, and I feel like after a game like this, you kind of feel like the sky is falling sometimes. Right. And I just wanted to know, like, where you guys think we are, and where do you foresee us finishing, and where do you stack us up with the best of the teams right now? That kind of stuff, because I'm kind of nervous right now with how everything is kind of playing out. I understand we're showing some good signs, but, you know, felt like we should have had this game today.
So I'll take a first pass at this. Ijan, appreciate the calls. The West being so mediocre makes me really calm. Like, I'm not really concerned about the Warriors being 11-11 because I think they're going to end up being a number three seed in the West. You know, like I feel very comfortable that they'll be a 3-4 seed in the West. It might be a 49 win three seed, but like, looking at the way the West is going, Phoenix is going to get their W's. Denver probably will too. After that, there's no one who I think is going to run off more wins than the Warriors. For me, the bigger thing is there's two teams in the East that concern me, and that's who I'm measuring the Warriors against. Boston, and Milwaukee. I don't think the Warriors are at that level yet. I think their starters are at that level. I don't think the roster's developed to that level yet. And for me, that's the bigger thing. I don't think the Warriors are going to end up with better records than either of those teams. I don't think it's realistic at this point. I'm more concerned, can the Warriors develop their roster so that if we get to the playoffs, because the West is mid right now, and I'm not particularly concerned, can they have a team that I feel confident about that can beat Boston or Milwaukee without home court? That's what I'm concerned about.
I have the exact, you just took all the, literally everything that I was going to say. I do think the 60 games that they have till then is good for the Warriors. It's a long season, man. The Celtics came out there like they were the Warriors in 2016 and just said, hey, we're just going to tear up the league and we're just going to run all the way to the finish line. I don't, you know, not always the best approach because it's a long, long, long basketball season. So I'm with you. The Warriors are definitely tier two right now behind the Bucks and the Celtics. But the Western Conference is weird because Memphis was pretty scary last season. And I know Desmond Bane took a leap and Jaren Jackson's healthy now, but I don't know how scary they are this season. They kind of seem like the same team to me when I watch them. We'll see. Let's give them 20 games. The Pelicans are super fun, but dude,
they don't feel ready.
They don't feel ready. And I just don't think Zion and Brandon Ingram, for whatever reason, can ever play 75 games. And those guys are young. You should be playing 75 games a season right now. Because if you can't do it now, you're never going
to
be
able to. Steph and Draymond are playing 79 to 80 games at that age. Yeah. So,
Clay was playing all 82, right? Like, those guys should just be playing more games than they are. And it's frankly not good that they can't. And so after that, it's the Clippers. I'm watching them right now. The Clippers are the Clippers, man. They're going to win 45, but who the hell knows? Paul George and Kawhi aren't even playing. So, yeah, I mean, you go down the list. The question, I guess, is can the Warriors win all the way to the NBA Finals if they're a 5 seed? So that's the question, because they're not going to have home court advantage at all. Can they do that? I would say, yeah, they could, but that seems taxing. So, I mean, that's the only question. It's a long season, man. Kuminga's the key. Kuminga's the key.
They were 3 seed last year. I'm using that as like the guiding where they need to be. So,
what's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
How's it going?
Just Neil.
Crying some tears right now. I honestly, like, overall, I'm not that concerned from this. Like, compared to like the 0-5 road trip where like I was like dreading watching
that those. That was depressing.
There was like that's where I was like, that was like real pain. I think this was just like Luka, just, you know, he did what he did. I mean, he was just hitting tough shots and getting bullshit calls, which, you know, he does, and that's fine. But I mean, that the only two of the big concerns for me are really just like, I feel like at times it's funny, they were like showing the rebounding stats and I was seeing the Warriors were like ahead of the Mavs, which like it just didn't feel that way. It felt like every second chance, like opportunity, the Mavs grabbed off the boards and like led to like an open three or like a Luka contested shot. So I feel like the rebounding at times is just, it's a bit suspect, and that's kind of to be expected, being that the Warriors aren't like that big of a team. And then I think what you guys have kind of mentioned earlier, but Jordan Poole really kind of just hit or miss here and there. Just like the traveling is just, it's just kind of shocking. I mean, like, because like last year, he just felt like the confidence soaring, and it feels like he's just in his head a lot of the time, especially with the travels or the carries. So that was really my two takeaways. The loss itself, overall, not too bad considering they have a pretty good schedule coming up at home for the road trip. So those are kind of my takeaways.
Appreciate it, Neil. I agree with you. I mean, I think everything's in context of the crappy start, but ultimately, like, I feel confident, and, you know, let's start getting some W's. Let's start creating some separation from 500, and yeah, we'll be back. Appreciate it, everyone.